The 13th annual Branson Worldview Weekend in beautiful Branson, Missouri is Friday night, April 29th, Saturday, April 30th, and half day Sunday, May 1st. Don't miss out on this yearly event that last year saw people from 39 states. Don't miss out. Worldviewweekend.com/Branson. Register by February 22nd. Receive priority upfront seating. Worldviewweekend.com/Branson.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you're with us. Dr. John Whitcomb joins us today for another installment of Ask Dr. John. Oh, before we get there, let me tell you. Last night, yesterday was a long day. Mondays are normally a long day because we want to try to get up new radio shows, new TV shows, get our weekly email newsletter out with links to all these new things. But last night we did get up. When I say we, I mean, I was going to say April, but she's passed. I'm still calling this new dog April. Delta and I. When I say we, I mean Delta and I. She sits next to me at night. Often in her own little chair next to mine. I got to put a blanket over it so she doesn't scratch it or anything. And she cuddles up and sleeps, and I work. I think it was till like 2 a.m. this morning. And so we got it done. We being me, she just slept. And I got up all kinds of new TV shows for you to watch at WVWTV.com. WVWTV.com. The TV program of On the Worldwide Flood and Why It Matters with Mike Riddle, that full interview. Here's a brand new one by Usama Dakdok. Does the Quran teach and promote terrorism? Does the Quran teach and promote terrorism? Excellent program by Usama Dakdok, his program we produce and distribute from our Memphis, Tennessee TV studios, The Straightway TV. And we got up a brand new TV program by Tommy Ice on Revelation. I think that one was put up the other day, or maybe it wasn't. Maybe I finally got that up last night. I can't remember. But I know I brought them all over to the front page at worldviewtimes.com. That I did last night. Worldviewtimes.com, where they're easy to find. So we're excited about that. Also put up something last night as well, and that is some of the topics. I have a few of the speakers that are still turning in their topics for Branson, but I put up a list of the topics that the speakers will be speaking on at our Branson Worldview Weekend coming up April 29th, 30th, and May 1st. Shahram Haidian is going to give his testimony of how his family left Iran, his father being a high-ranking military official, and came to America, and then how he became a believer. He was a Muslim. He was a Muslim, unlike Usama Dakdok, who was never a Muslim, just lived in Egypt, born and raised in Egypt. Shahram was a Muslim, and how he shared the gospel with his Muslim father, and actually was disowned by his father. And then he's going to speak on ISIS, the rise of ISIS and Islam in America, and how America is being fundamentally transformed through this process, and what we as Christians should know about it, what's coming, how to prepare. Rob Congdon will be speaking on what's going on in the Middle East, in Europe, as America is decreasing and Europe is rising, which fits right with Bible prophecy. Abner Chow is going to speak on preparing for persecution by examining the life of Paul. Preparing for persecution by examining the life of Paul. DeYoung, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, will speak on, he hasn't been with us in 2 years in Branson. He'll speak on the Middle East and what's happening there. Brand new talk by Dr. DeYoung. And I got the talk titles handed in by Jesse Johnson and Abendroth. I'll post those later today because I can't remember what they are. I'm going to speak on two presentations, part one and part two, on what every Christian should know. Some major things every Christian should know. Things that I wish someone had taught me years ago, but major theological, doctrinal issues that help us have a proper biblical worldview. But we don't talk about these things, and many pastors don't teach them because I don't think many pastors know them. I think there are some out there that know it, but there are many out there that don't know it. Some major theological doctrinal issues in layman terms that we all should know that would help us in our everyday life. So what every Christian should know is a two-part presentation. Gendron, Mike Gendron, he's going to speak on Pope Francis, Islam, and religious unity. Pope Francis, Islam, and religious unity. These are just a few of the keynote presentations at our Branson Worldview Weekend, April 29, 30, and May 1st. And I put these up at worldviewtimes.com in an article last night. Party upfront seating if you register by February 21st, which you can do at worldviewweekend.com/Branson. worldviewweekend.com/Branson. All right, let's go to Dr. I was going to say DeYoung, but no, that's not till Friday. Dr. Whitcomb joins us. Dr. Whitcomb, thanks for joining us.
It's always a joy to open God's precious word and hear the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts in these days of darkness that we might be enlightened, illumined, and encouraged in Him.
Absolutely. All right, here we go. This installment of Ask Dr. John, the questions you have sent in. Here's the first one, Dr. John. Did the process of writing by inspiration involve the use of research? And the reader cites Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4.
And, of course, Luke does a marvelous job, wholly apart from the issue of inspiration, of course, in showing us how he wrote Luke and Acts. For instance, he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, the first account I composed, that's the Gospel of Luke, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles. And so we see here that this man, Theophilus, had probably subsidized his very long procedure of studying the things that he wrote about. And, of course, in Luke 1 and in Acts 1, he pays tribute to the man who subsidized his work. Now, other gospel writers, tell us too, I think, in various ways, how they had to do research. Like Paul, when he wrote his letters, his writer, he's interacting with actual situations that he studied, prayed about. You remember, he talked about the Corinthians and all the things that he had studied and heard and reported to him. It didn't just come out, can I say, from the blue. Yes, they did do research, but the infinite difference between their research and ours today and all other research in the history of the world by people who study the past is that the Holy Spirit prevented them from saying anything erroneous and led them to say the things that were important in the mind and purpose and plan of God. And that's the encouraging thing about God's precious word. You know, even the Gospel of John. And John, was the last one who wrote Bible doctrine in the book of Revelation. He ends his wonderful gospel by saying in chapter 21, verse 24, this is the disciple who bears witness of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his witness is true. He did what? He bore witness. He saw these things. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose even the world itself would not contain the books which would be written. So you see, John, like Matthew, Mark, and Luke, studied, learned, made interviews with the principal people involved. And we thank the Lord that the Holy Spirit protected them from any exaggeration, any errors at all. All the scriptures is verbally inspired, word for word, that we can be assured that what we're reading is absolute and final truth.
Thank you, Dr. Whitcomb. All right, here's the next one that someone has sent in. Do the two witnesses of Revelation 11 appear in the first half or second half of the tribulation?
Yes. Now, in Revelation chapter 11, we read about these two witnesses whom I believe were Moses and Elijah, things that are described to them in Revelation 11, verse 5. If anyone desires to harm them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. That's what Elijah did, you remember, back in the book of 2 Kings. And power to shut the sky that it might not rain, that's what Elijah did too, remember. And then it says they had power over the waters to turn into blood. That's what Moses did in Egypt. Smite the earth with every plague. That's what Moses did in Egypt. So these two men who prophesy for 3.5 years and win thousands of Israelis to the Lord during that first half of the tribulation period, 144,000 to be specific, were specially chosen. 12,000 from each tribe to be world witnesses for Christ, the Messiah, in the last half of the 70th week. But then what happens? Listen to this, Revelation chapter 11, verse 7. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up out of the abyss, that's the Antichrist, will make war with them and overcome them and kill them. And then begins the last half of the 70th week, which is the great tribulation, and then the whole world is suffering the wrath of God in a special, special way. So it seems rather clear from the book of Revelation that these men will experience these things in the first half. Now, Daniel, of course, the prophet, gave a little foreview of that too, didn't he? Where he told us, you remember in chapter 9, verse 27, that in the last half of that period of the 70th week, that something very special is going to happen in Israel. What is it? Listen carefully now. Daniel 9 and verse 27. He'll make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week, in the middle of that 70th week, that seven-year period, 3.5 years, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. He'll terminate the sacrifices and offerings that the two witnesses have been superintending and performing and carrying through, and the end of that period of opportunity and blessing to the whole world will end. And the great, great tribulation begins the last 3.5 years. So we believe that this, it's quite clear from the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel that it's the first half of the tribulation that those two witnesses will carry on for the Lord.
Thank you, Dr. Whitcomb. All right, number three. How many people would there have been in the temple to witness the event outlined in Matthew 27, verses 51 to 53? And I'm sure you'll tell us what that event is, right, Dr. Whitcomb?
All right, here we go. Matthew 27 tells us amazing things that happened when Jesus died on the cross. Listen carefully. When Jesus yielded up his spirit, this is Matthew 27, 50, Jesus died on the cross. Immediately, what happened? Behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. My, that was that veil, friends, was a curtain separating the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple. It was ripped down from top to bottom, showing that God did it, not man, and showing the way was now open into the presence of God. Now, how many men were in that temple when that happened? Not very many, but they bore witness to the fact that it did happen. And guess what one of the results was? In the book of Acts, we're amazed to read this in chapter 6. Acts.
In fact, hold it right there if you would, Dr. Whitcomb, so you're not interrupted by our break coming up. We'll continue with our guest, Dr. Whitcomb of WhitcombMinistries.org. The 13th annual Branson Worldview Weekend in beautiful Branson, Missouri is Friday night, April 29th, Saturday, April 30th, and half-day Sunday, May 1st. Don't miss out on this yearly event that last year saw people from 39 states. We call it the Worldview Weekend Family Reunion. Why? Because those of us who are believers are part of the family of the Lord, and we're all coming together to have a great weekend of Bible study, biblical worldview teaching, and fellowship. Hey, are you tired of feeling alone? You sometimes get discouraged, wondering, is there anyone that still is committed to the truth that I'm committed to? Well, you won't ask that question after spending a weekend in Branson, Missouri. So many people come back year after year, and we recognize many of them. In fact, it's, again, a family reunion because we're seeing many of them year in and year out. You're going to have a great time with speakers there like Mike Abendroff, Mike Gendron, Jesse Johnson, Abner Chow, Jimmy DeYoung, Sharam Hadian, myself, Brandon House, and Robert Congdon. Music by Marty Goetz. It's the 13th annual Branson Worldview Weekend. Full details, including all the hotels, are listed at worldviewweekend.com/Branson. That's worldviewweekend.com/Branson. And you get priority upfront seating if you register by February 22nd. That's priority upfront seating if you register by February 22nd. Prefer to register by mail? Then you can send in a check. You'll find our address at worldviewweekend.com/Branson. Prefer to register with a credit card over the phone? You can call our order line at 901-853-8792. That's 901-853-8792. This is an order line only. Please email your questions into us at info@worldviewweekend.com. Register online, register by mail, or register over the phone. However you do it, just get registered because it's the 13th annual Branson Worldview Weekend with 100% new material. Did I say 100% new material every year? Great fellowship with the speakers and those in attendance against folks from 39 states last year. Don't miss out. worldviewweekend.com/Branson. Register by February 22nd. Receive priority upfront seating. worldviewweekend.com/Branson. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Weekend Radio, our website, worldviewweekend.com. We are going back on the road. We've been off the road for Worldview Weekend rallies for about 3.5 years as we spent most of our time really concentrating on building our broadcast network and studios and equipment and training and distribution platforms and all the work that goes with maintaining that kind of schedule. I mean, how can you do the kind of radio and television we do with all the guys flying in here as well and film it and post-edit it if we're always on the road? So we came off the road for 3.5 years to concentrate on developing broadcast programs that reach the world, because we don't want to just reach America. We want to reach the world, right? And the radio can go places we can't go. So we came off the road for 3.5 years, but we're ready to get back out there and see you and be reacquainted with many of you that we know. And I know that some of you, I will immediately recognize you. I may not know your name, but I will immediately recognize you because you've been to enough of our conferences over the years. I know who you are. Some of you, I will know your name. Some of you are regular callers in this program. And when you walk up, I not only know who you are, I know your name because we have so much interaction with you. Some of you email me enough. I get great news stories and news tips from you that I know you as well when you walk up. Some of you, I don't know you what you look like because I've only interacted with you with email. But I know your name because we interact enough, and when you'll walk up, you'll tell me your name, and I'll know right away who you are. But I wouldn't know you by sight because I've never seen you, but I'll know you when you tell me your name. So it's a great time to get out there. I enjoy it, and it's a great time to get out there and be encouraged. It's, I think, encouraging to you, but I know it's encouraging to us. I think, actually, at the end of the day, we encourage each other. We get encouraged by your ministering to us, and we get to minister to you, and that's part of the reason we're getting back out there. So that our world isn't so small and we live in a little bubble thinking things are worse than they are. Things are bad, but they're not as bad as we think they are, I think, sometimes when we get out there and interact with other Christians and realize how healthy the true church really is. Is there a false dominant church growing, a religious Reich or empire kingdom? Absolutely, according to Scripture. But the real church is very healthy, and that's what we get the opportunity to get out there and see and be encouraged. Now, what are we going to do? It's one night, it's free, and it's myself, Jimmy DeYoung, Mike Gendron, and Usama Dakdok. And the amazing thing is, the four of us have planned our talks so they all interweave with each other. From the rising of a false church, a false religion, I'll deal with, as well as will Mike Gendron and the Pope and Islam. And then you got Usama on Islam and ISIS. And then you got Jimmy DeYoung coming on dealing with Islam and false religion. And you see how it all will interweave together? And it's going to be fascinating. Not only will we better understand what's happening, understanding God is sovereign, He's in control. We don't need to wring our hands. God's in control. We'll be encouraged by the supernatural nature of God's prophetic word as it's really unfolding in front of us. We'll have fellowship with one another. We'll have some time of singing some great of those standard anthems, my favorite one being Blessed Assurance. And we'll sing a little bit, and we'll have some Bible teaching and fellowship and maybe some Q&A, and, of course, visiting out in the foyer at the resource tables. Why would you want to miss it, particularly when it's free? And it's one night, and the schedule starts out with us in Des Moines, Iowa, on April 1st. Des Moines, Iowa. April 1st is Des Moines, Iowa. Then April 2nd, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Great registration is going for that one. Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Then Minneapolis, St. Paul, April 3rd. It's a sunny night. Duluth, Minnesota. Folks in Duluth and up that area, we need to see the numbers pick up there. I don't want to have to cancel Duluth. So I need you to get involved and help us get out the word about the rally in Duluth. La Crosse, you're doing great. We're going to have a great turnout La Crosse on Tuesday night, April 5th. Green Bay, same thing. Great turnout. Registration is going well in Green Bay, April 6th. Milwaukee, it's going so well, I'm worried that we're not in a big enough room. But anyway, Milwaukee, April 7th. Rockford, Illinois, well, we could lose a little more help there getting the word out in Rockford on Friday night, April 8th. And let's see, Indianapolis is doing well, April 9th. Dayton, Ohio is doing really well. Dayton, Ohio, and that's Sunday night, April 10th. So that's the lineup. Des Moines, Iowa, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, St. Paul, Minneapolis, Duluth, Minnesota, La Crosse, Wisconsin, Green Bay, Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Rockford, Illinois, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Dayton, Ohio. All the details at worldviewweekend.com/conferences. It's free, and it's going to be an encouraging evening for us to all to have time to get together and meet new friends and get reacquainted with old friends, right? worldviewweekend.com/conferences. It's free, but you do need to register so we have enough seating, because I think in a few of these cities we're going to be packed in, which is always fun as well. Tomorrow, by the way, I want to deal with something someone sent me, and that is drumming circles. I just found out about a, quote, church in Wisconsin. They get together and they have a drumming circle. They sit around with their drums. Well, I've been researching that a little bit. You got that going on? We got prayer circles now, and we have drumming circles now. We'll deal with all that tomorrow. Well, joining me now is our guest, Dr. John Whitcomb of WhitcombMinistries.org. And the last question was in relation to how many people would there have been in the temple to witness the event outlined in Matthew 27:51-53. Let me have you pick it up right there, Dr. Whitcomb.
Yes. Now, of course, that's two different things. How many people were in the temple would be very few of the priests, very few. But the significance to me of that is that those men bore witness to other Jews that were priests of what actually happened miraculously in that temple. Because you read in the book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 7, that the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem. Now listen, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. There was something special that happened. There were thousands of priests, as you know. They were not wealthy people. They were not important people in the sense of being respectfully treated. Zacharias, you remember, father of John the Baptist, was one of these. And they believed because apparently something special had happened to the veil in that temple. But by the way, what other things happened? There were five things, not just that veil. When Jesus died, the earth shook. When Jesus died, the rocks were split. When Jesus died, the tombs were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming up out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. My, how spectacular! Even the centurion that was in charge of the death of Jesus said concerning the Lord Jesus, truly then, this was the Son of God. And so we say, praise the Lord for the impact of that event, that God honored his beloved Son by the way he shook the world, as it were, and showed that something of infinite significance had taken place on that central cross. And so For those who may be interested, we have discussed this carefully, and as well as about the two witnesses of Jerusalem 11 in our book called The Rapture and Beyond. If we can be of help to you, just let us know. Praise the Lord for these amazing, amazing, spectacular events at the beginning of the church age.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Whitcomb. Here's the next one from a listener who, by the way, you can send in your question for the next Dr. John, info@worldviewweekend.com. Please put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John. info@worldviewweekend.com. Please put in the subject, Ask Dr. John, so I can filter these out and get them over to him. Here it is. Who is the archangel whose voice is heard at the rapture of the church?
Yes, this is very, very interesting. When the church is raptured, we know that several things are going to happen, aren't they? The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Four things will happen before the living Christians are raptured without dying. But the question that was asked here is fascinating. Who is this archangel, the voice of the archangel? Well, friends, there's only one archangel, chief angel, in the universe, and his name is Michael, who is specially appointed by God to protect Israel. You remember the book of Daniel tells much about Michael's ministry toward Israel. And he's the archangel. Jude chapter 9 says so. Now, when you look at the events in Revelation chapter 12, you can see what Michael is going to do. This has always fascinated me. Michael, you see, has been, in a sense, detached from any significant function during the church age because his ministry is specifically for Israel. But when the church is gone at the rapture from the earth, and Israel is reinstituted, first with the two witnesses, you remember, and then thousands come to the Savior, the Messiah. What part does Michael have in this? Well, we turn to Revelation chapter 12, and we read this amazing statement about Michael. Listen carefully. This is a stupendous event in the middle of the tribulation. There was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon, that's Satan, and the dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place for them found in heaven, and the great dragon, was cast, thrown down, and the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, was thrown down to the earth, and the angels, his angels, were thrown down with him. So Michael, the angel, archangel, finally is empowered by God to defeat Satan, who is cast out of heaven, where he's been accusing the brethren night and day. And these awful things that have been going on for these thousands of years will come to an end in terms of Satan's access to the throne of God, where he accuses us, as we know it. And I say, well, Lord, help me to realize how significant is this archangel, this chief of the angels, toward Israel, and he'll come down and at the rapture and begin his work with Israel again. And 3.5 years later, as we've just seen, he'll actually be used of God to cast Satan out of heaven, down to the earth for the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. So praise the Lord for this particular function of this particular angel in the history and destiny of Israel.
Thank you, Dr. Whitcomb. Here's the next one. Oh, boy. What is the falling away in 2 Thessalonians 2:3? Now, Dr. Whitcomb, this will be interesting because Tommy Isis studied this quite a bit. And some think that it might be the falling away, might be the rapture, like a ship falling away off the horizon, and it could be referring to the rapture. Others say it's the falling away from traditionally held biblical truth, apostasy. I know theologians can disagree on some of these non-essential issues. Well, have you heard about it also being applied to the rapture?
Yes, that of course. The fascinating thing about it is, of course, that that takes place at the time of the rapture. When the rapture takes place, the apostasy, of course, if that's what that means, that introduces the 70th week of Daniel, the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, begins to function, as we read, of course, in the book of Revelation, and following. Now, the amazing thing about this is that these two things will happen when the rapture occurs.
I'm going to have you hold it right there because I don't want to miss this. Folks, we'll continue on the other side of the break. Dr. Whitcomb, whitcombministries.org. So the rapture and apostasy, how do they relate? How do they connect? And apostasy ramps up at the rapture time. Why? We'll be right back. Are you looking for a great Christmas gift for someone this year? How about buying them the trilogy, Grave Influence, Religious Trojan Horse, and The Coming Religious Reich? Hello, I'm Brandon House. We put together a special three-book package of these three books that make up this trilogy that has been 8 years in the making. I first wrote Grave Influence. That's 360 pages, hardcover. Then I wrote The Religious Trojan Horse. That's 475 pages, hardcover. And then I wrote The Coming Religious Reich. That's 512 pages and hardcover. They include hundreds of footnotes per book. In fact, the Religious Trojan Horse book has over 500 footnotes, and The Coming Religious Reich has over 600 footnotes. So these are highly documented books. Three books, hardcover, at a greatly reduced price. Normally, all three, $67, but we have the special discount price of just $49 for all three. Want to take advantage of this? Just simply go to worldviewweekend.com/trilogy. worldviewweekend.com/trilogy and get Grave Influence, Religious Trojan Horse, and The Coming Religious Reich, all three hardcover books at the reduced price of just $49 for all three. worldviewweekend.com/trilogy. This year, give the gift of a biblical worldview. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Weekend Radio. Our website, worldviewweekend.com. Dr. Whitcomb's our guest. His website, whitcombministries.org. Let me have you pick it up there, Dr. Whitcomb. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, dealing with the apostasy, a falling away from traditionally held biblical truths, but some theologians say it's also the falling away as though a ship falling off the horizon is the falling away that would occur as when you have the rapture occurring. But yet apostasy and the rapture are working in conjunction together. Pick it up right there.
Yes. Now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul had to be rebuking the Thessalonian Christians whom he had instructed so carefully about the events that shall accompany and follow the rapture of the church. He said, "You've been shaken from your composure, disturbed by a spirit or a messenger or a letter as from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come, that you're already in the 70th week of Daniel. No, you're not. That 70th week of Daniel follows the rapture of the church. Because when the rapture takes place, what is going to happen? Let no one in any way deceive you," Paul says in verse 3. This is 2 Thessalonians 2:3. "Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first." And what is that? Well, it goes on to say, "And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction." That's the Antichrist. Now, the Antichrist is revealed at the very beginning, you know, of the 70th week of Daniel. As Revelation tells us, he launches forth conquering and to conquer. And he will be the one that will lead Israel for those 7 years, in a very special way, of course, at the last 3.5 years. But the first thing that has to happen, you see, is the falling away, the apostasy, which accompanies, I should say, immediately follows the rapture. The apostasy. Now, of course, there's always been apostasy throughout throughout church history. But the apostasy, when the whole world will turn against the Lord, happens immediately after the rapture. Why? When the rapture takes place, all believers are gone, and there isn't a single believer left on this planet. All true believers have been taken away. So what a complete, total falling away that'll be. And then the two believers that do appear suddenly in Jerusalem, remember the two witnesses, will begin to preach the word of the Lord. So this is not an easy one to handle, but it seems that Paul is making clear to the Thessalonians that they are not in the day of the Lord, that 70th week of Daniel. They're not there.
All right, next one, Dr. Wickham, thank you. Could there be persecution of Christians in the United States before the rapture?
Well, friends, this is so sad, so sad. what did the Lord Jesus say about this? Listen to him in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11. This is so sad. Jesus said in Matthew 5:11, "Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me." Now, that happened at the beginning of the church age. I mean, when Jesus was still here, he warned them that they would experience that. And then in Matthew 5:44, the Lord Jesus, goes on to say, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Oh my, isn't that sad? Persecution. Well, over and over, Jesus says this, like in John 15:20, "If they persecuted me, they will what? They will also persecute you." 1 Corinthians 4:12, "When we are persecuted, we endure." Now, friends, persecution has been going on for the last 2,000 years. The fact that we don't experience it that much in America doesn't mean it isn't happening. With hundreds of thousands and millions of Chinese Christians are being persecuted in their country, aren't they? Christians in Muslim countries are facing persecution, like through ISIS, as we've seen. So we say, Lord, we're so sad that persecution is happening to Christians around the world, and just because it isn't happening as much in America as other countries doesn't mean it can't happen here. In fact, it's beginning to happen, isn't it? As we're seeing, sadly, day by day, year by year, these things are beginning to cause Christians to be afraid of the tragedies that doubtless will come. Beheadings and all kinds of things happening, and we say, Lord, help us to keep our eye and our heart on you. We're not better than anybody living in Africa or India or China or the Near East or Muslim countries. Help us to keep our eye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then when persecution to some extent or other, in one way or another, takes place in our lives, we'll know it's not a mistake. God has a plan, even through persecution, to glorify his church, his people, his saints today.
Here's the next one. Who are the ones who are removed at Christ's second coming in Matthew 24:40-41?
Yes. Now, that's an interesting one. I've always wondered about that. Listen carefully. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 40, "Then there shall be two men in the field. One will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, and one will be left." You say, that's the rapture. No, no. Wait a minute. Look at the previous paragraph, where Jesus has just described what happened at the Genesis flood. Listen to this. For in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. Took them away in what way? Drowning, dying. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Two in one field, one taken to judgment. And the one that's left is left alive to enter the kingdom. Well, wait a minute. We just say, now, Lord, is this what Daniel was talking about? Yes, in the last verses of the book of Daniel, chapter 12, blessed is one who is still alive at the 1335th day. Yes. And I say that, Lord, that's the beginning of the actual function of Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords on this earth, and all unbelievers will have been removed, and only the believers on Israel and their Gentile converts will enter the kingdom alive. So this is a complicated point, but praise the Lord, when Jesus comes, the believers will enter the kingdom alive. And I say, Lord, what a marvelous plan and program you have for your church, your body of Christ, and of course, the people of Israel and Gentiles who will enter the kingdom and reproduce, have children and during that 1,000 years of Christ being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Thank you, Dr. Whitcomb. Here's the next one. How many people would have been in Jerusalem at the time of the Festival of Weeks or Shavuot?
Yes. Now, that is, the day of the Passover, the birthday of the church, 50 days after his resurrection. And I say, well, Lord, there were probably hundreds of thousands, maybe a million people in Jerusalem, because they would all come at Passover to the Holy Land from all over the world, and many of them would just remain there in Jerusalem in 50 days until Day of Pentecost in order to celebrate this Festival of the Harvest, the first Festival of the Harvest of the year, and this time of celebration. 50 days, 10 days after Jesus ascended to heaven, remember. So I would say there would be, should we say it this way, at least a million people in Jerusalem at that time. Praise God for that outreach that God gave to the early church, to those people who came to Jerusalem for that festival.
Thank you, Dr. Whitcomb. All right, the next one you guys have sent in is, what relationship does the northern kingdom of Israel have to the Abrahamic covenant?
Yeah, you think that northern kingdom, remember, that broke away from the kingdom of David and Solomon, and were finally, destroyed in 722 by the Assyrians and taken captive. We haven't seen them since. They've been scattered all over the world. But God promised, to Abraham that all of his descendants would be under God's blessing someday, one way or another, to the Gentile world. And in Genesis 49, Jacob, just before he died, pronounced blessings on the 12 sons, 12 tribes. And even more amazing to me is how Ezekiel, the prophet, describes what's going to happen. Just at the end of this age, listen carefully. Ezekiel 37:15. The word of the Lord came again and said, Son of man, take a stick and write on it for Judah and the sons of Israel. Take another stick for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim and the house of Israel. That's the northern 10 tribes. And join them for yourself one to another into one stick, that they may become one in your hand. So he's going to take the stick of Joseph, the hand of Ephraim, the tribes of Israel, and put on them with the stick of Judah, one stick in my hand. So God is going to reunite, now listen carefully, the 10 northern tribes with the southern 2 tribes, and at last there'll be 12 tribes of Israel that God will bless during the 70th week of Daniel and the millennium on this earth. So God is going to fulfill his eternal promise to Abraham that all of his ultimate descendants will be under God's special blessing, and that all Israel will be saved. Romans, of course, tells us that in chapters 9, 10, and 11. Praise God, he'll fulfill his promise to Israel.
1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Now is your chance to ask Dr. John, 1-800-347-9829. Again, 1-800-347-9829. Get on board with your questions or comments for Dr. John, 1-800-347-9829. His website, by the way, is WhitcombMinistries.org, WhitcombMinistries.org. We carry his program each week on our website at WorldviewRadio.com, of him teaching and preaching, WorldviewRadio.com. Of course, you can hear him also on Sunday mornings. I think it's 7:30 Sunday mornings on the VCY America Radio Network while you're getting ready for church. We like Dr. John. We're glad to have him a part of our broadcast team. 1-800-347-9829 is the number if you want to ask Dr. John. Now, some of you I know can't because you're listening to it a day late. And that's why we give you the option to send in your question by email. Some of you are afraid to call in to live radio. I've always been nice, I think. But you just get nervous. And I understand that. And so you can email in your questions, info@worldviewweekend.com, and we'll save them for the next broadcast, info@worldviewweekend.com. But for the rest of you, you can call in right now, 1-800-347-9829. Make your questions quick, and we'll roll through as many questions as we can as we ask Dr. John. SituationRoom.net and WorldviewPedia.com, two cutting-edge websites now for one price. That's right. You can join the Situation Room at SituationRoom.net/join, and you're going to get a membership automatically to the biblical worldview software known as WorldviewPedia.com. WorldviewPedia.com has been about 10 years in the making. You'll be amazed at all the information that has been put into WorldviewPedia.com. Not just transcripts, but also audio clips and video clips. It's a comprehensive biblical worldview online software. You can test drive it now at WorldviewPedia.com. That's WorldviewPedia.com. And remember, when you join WorldviewPedia.com, you also get a membership to Situation Room. So again, want to be a member of the Situation Room, where we have archived all of our radio shows from years gone by, all of our TV shows, all of our Branson conferences, all of our Contend conferences, e-books. We also have the radio shows and TV shows of all of our broadcasters, from Justin Peters, Mike Abendroth, Tommy Ice, Usama, Dak Doc, and much, much more. All of that is in the Situation Room. Close to $100,000 in e-books, audiobooks, transcripts, radio shows, TV shows, conference DVDs, and you get a membership to WorldviewPedia.com. Two premier clubs for the price of one, just $7.99 a month, or $74.99 for a year, or 2 years at a reduced price of $129. But it's very affordable. You could even do $7.99 a month, our monthly membership plan. All the plans are described at SituationRoom.net/join. SituationRoom.net/join. Check it out. We think it's a great value for you, but you're also supporting our broadcast ministries. So thank you for joining and supporting our ministry, as well as getting a great resource for you and your family. Join now, situationroom.net/join, and get your membership to the Situation Room and a bonus membership to worldviewpedia.com. That's situationroom.net/join. Back. Glad you're with us, Worldview Weekend Radio. Let's go right away to the phone calls. Many of you are calling in and you want to ask Dr. John a question. And again, his website is WhitcombMinistries.org, WhitcombMinistries.org. All right, let's start out with, Rochester, Minnesota, line two, Daniel on line two. Go ahead, Daniel.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I did some research in the Lost Tribes of Israel, and I heard people say that they can trace their roots back to the Lost Tribes of Israel. And so my question for Dr. DeYoung is, when you research the coat of arms and people's families from the, Danish, Dan, it's just interesting how the Irish, the English, the British, the all over, everybody has a coat of arms that correlates or is similar to the 12 tribes of Israel. And I'm wondering if one day that, people are going to realize that, or if that's going to be like a reveal to everybody that when everybody, that it's probably part of the Lost Tribes of Israel.
Okay, Dr. Wickham?
I apologize. Could you repeat the question for me? I couldn't understand.
You referred to the 12 tribes of Israel, and I was just wondering if that only includes, obviously, who they were, in biblical times, but I guess what I see is that everybody has kind of branched out through the years, and maybe people are related to the 12 tribes of Israel without even realizing it.
In other words, Dr. Whitcomb, can you trace back? He says some people try to trace themselves back to the 12 tribes of Israel. Can that even be done today?
Today, of course, the Jews do not have an accurate record of what tribe they belong to. When the 70th week of Daniel comes, however, to the two witnesses, the tribes will all be told, assured what they belong to, which tribe. And so they will know who the Levites are and who the Judahites are and so forth, because the 144,000 will represent all 12 tribes, and they'll know those things that they do not know today. That would be my understanding of that situation.
Excellent. Thank you, Dr. Whitcomb. Thank you, Daniel, from Rochester, Minnesota. Let's go to line three. Ace is calling in. Ace, thanks for calling in. Go right ahead, Ace.
Hi, Brandon. It's Ace. I have a question for Dr. John. Does he believe that God, I know about the mysticism thing, that God could speak to you and you know, try to tug at your heart through a dream? Because you guys were talking about the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and where the theologians stand on the apostate from the faith. And I've never really had any clarity on that dream, but it was a ship, and it was going out to the blackness, and it was falling off into the blackness. And I was attached from strings to the ship, and I couldn't understand it until you guys were talking about it today. So I think it'd be maybe some apostate, you know, but I just want to know if Dr. John thinks that God can, like, really, you know, be in a dream and, you know, kind of talk to you that way.
Okay, so, Dr. Whitcomb, does God speak to people today through dreams?
My understanding is no. God is not speaking to people today in any other way except through his word. And so I'm when I turn to the book of Revelation, it reminds me of that very important distinction. Where are we getting messages from? Who is speaking to us? Under what circumstances? Here's how the book of Revelation says it. In chapter 22, verse 18, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and the holy city. And I say, Lord, I'm not sure what that all involves, but help me not to add anything ever to what you've actually written, because our dreams, our imaginations can carry us astray. Every single cult, as we know, starts with some person having a dream or a vision or something. They claim that God spoke to them. And God says, here's the measuring stick. Don't you dare say anything that is not recorded in God's precious word. And that's why, you know, the Apostle Peter was so thankful, profoundly thankful for the Apostle Paul, who had written these wonderful things that we know from his writings. And where did he get them from? Well, Peter said, I want you to know something about Paul. According to the wisdom given to him, in all his letters, speaking to of these things in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort as they do the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. Don't ever take God's word as being interpreted through your dreams. I say, Lord, help me, protect me, keep me faithful, humble, diligent, and direct me to the written scriptures, which alone are inspired by God.
Thank you for the question, and thank you, Dr. Whitcomb, for the answer. Let's go to Roger, line four. Go ahead, Roger.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, go ahead. Oh, you're asking, waiting for my question?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. It speaks of Jesus coming back the second time. He came the first time. He's coming back the second time. When he comes back the second time, then he's going to set up his kingdom, or his, you know, do away with Satan, and basically that's the end of the time as we know it. When it says that we're going to be caught up in the air, like you were just talking about with the rapture here, is that the time then when he comes back and does away with everybody? Because it says, specifically it says that he's coming back the second time. So in order, if we're caught up in the air with him, that means he's got to come back 2.5 or 3 times.
Right. Good question. Good question. The second time, he doesn't set his foot on the earth. He calls us up at the rapture. He does not return. He does not set his foot on the earth. It isn't until after the tribulation that he actually sets his foot on the earth, that being the second coming. That's when he sets up his kingdom, and we see that in Matthew 24 being spoken of. And then we also see in Matthew 25, he begins to divide the sheep and the goats and sets up his kingdom. So the rapture is not the second coming, thus making his what we call the second coming, the third coming, because in the rapture, he never set his foot on the earth. Have I got that one right, Dr. Whitcomb?
That's right. He meets us in the air and takes us immediately to heaven, where for 7 years we will be examined, evaluated. Some will suffer loss of rewards, not of their salvation. And the bride will be preparing herself for the wedding feast and the marriage with the Lamb at the end of that 7 years. And then we will come back to the earth with Christ all the way to the earth, as you said, at the second coming at the beginning of the millennium.
Dr. John Whitcomb, thanks for being with us, Dr. John.
Praise the Lord. May God's word enter our hearts and give us encouragement.
Amen. Take care, folks.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.
The 13th annual Branson Worldview Weekend in beautiful Branson, Missouri is Friday night, April 29th, Saturday, April 30th, and half-day Sunday, May 1st. Don't miss out on this yearly event that last year saw people from 39 states. We call it the Worldview Weekend Family Reunion. Why? Because those of us who are believers are part of the family of the Lord, and we're all coming together to have a great weekend of Bible study, biblical worldview teaching, and fellowship. Hey, are you tired of feeling alone? You sometimes get discouraged, wondering, is there anyone that still is committed to the truth that I'm committed to? Well, you won't ask that question after spending a weekend in Branson, Missouri. So many people come back year after year, and we recognize many of them. In fact, it's, again, a family reunion because we're seeing many of them year in and year out. You're going to have a great time with speakers there like Mike Abendroth, Mike Gendron, Jesse Johnson, Abner Chow, Jimmy DeYoung, Sharam Hadian, myself, Brannon House, and Robert Congdon. Music by Marty Goetz. It's the 13th annual Branson Worldview Weekend. Full details, including all the hotels, are listed at worldviewweekend.com/Branson. That's worldviewweekend.com/Branson. And you get priority upfront seating if you register by February 22nd. That's priority upfront seating if you register by February 22nd. Prefer to register by mail? Then you can send in a check. You'll find your address at worldviewweekend.com/Branson. Prefer to register with a credit card over the phone? You can call our order line at 901-853-8792. That's 901-853-8792. This is an order line only. Please email your questions into us at info@worldviewweekend.com. Register online, register by mail, or register over the phone. However you do it, just get registered because it's the 13th annual Branson Worldview Weekend with 100% new material. Did I say 100% new material every year? Great fellowship with the speakers and those in attendance against folks from 39 states last year. Don't miss out. worldviewweekend.com/Branson. Register by February 22nd. Receive priority upfront seating. worldviewweekend.com/Branson.